knows what we need. Ain't nobody like him tonight. I want you to know that ain't nobody like him. Acts chapter 2. I'll give you a few thoughts this evening. Been preaching on the home of a mourning and then on the church. We started last Sunday night on the church. And I want us to continue there at least for a few weeks. We'll see as God directs about the church. The greatest institution that was made, I believe, whatever the first thing is the dearest to his heart. And he made man, he made woman, made a home. He wanted communion with us. Have you ever thought about how a holy God, or why a holy God, would want to commune with us? You know, to me, that's harder for me to understand than saving me. Why he would want to do it to start with. Him doing it is no big deal. He can do it. I mean, he's great. But the desire to do it. Can you imagine? I know me. I don't even want to fellowship with me. You know? I mean, seriously, have you ever tried to get just by yourself so far you didn't have to talk to even yourself? But yet he wants that. And not only did he make a home, a husband and wife, but then he made a body that he could get all of us. Now think about that. I understand getting a couple. Adam and Eve. All right, be done. But then he said, let me get all of them. And I'll take them all at once and fellowship with all of them at one time. And we're all messed up. And he wants to fool with us at all one time. And to me, that blows my mind tonight. I'm easily astonished anymore. I didn't think I could be astonished at things, but the more I read his word, the more I get astonished about what he does. How much he loves me. How big he is. I'm seeing him bigger than I've ever saw him. He's bigger than I ever dreamt him to be. You know, he sure is great. Let's pray just for a moment. Father, we need you tonight. I can't do nothing by myself. Lord, I need you to touch me fresh. Preach me as you see fit. And may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We gave you a saying last week. We're going to give it to you again tonight. Y'all remember what it is? Let's see if we can remember. I'm going to say it, then I want you to say it with me. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, before you say it again, I want you to think. Now, if everybody was just like you, everybody acted like you, everybody thought like you, everybody spoke like you, everybody prayed like you, if everybody read their Bible like you, if everybody's attitude was just like yours, if everybody felt about things exactly the way you feel, if everybody felt toward people the way you feel, if everybody felt toward church the way you feel, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? It's a good question, ain't it? So let's say it together. What kind of church? Now, everybody ain't participating. Right? Everybody participate. Are everybody ready? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? All right. So stand up and tell us just exactly how you feel about everything. We want to know how we're supposed to be. We're going to be just like you. My goal is to be just like you tonight. Is that a good thing? That's not a good thing. Then don't you think maybe we ought to change? What if everybody in the church was just like him? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was like him? He lives in us. What if he'd help us if we let him? Reckon he would? I believe he probably would, don't you? Well, let's look at some scripture tonight. Let me give you a few thoughts this evening. We're going to go back and let's read our text verse for the series, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Then we'll look in Acts chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Everybody with me? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's interesting, isn't it? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We looked last week at we was a body. Tonight, let's just look at about a church, okay? Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's start at verse 37. Peter is preaching there on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has manifested himself for the first time, like he did here with the believers. The church has started with Calvary and the resurrection of Christ. Now we have getting ready to see some new converts coming to the church. And we're going to see what become the core or the foundation of the church. All right, we're going to look at about the attitude and some things about the church and the body of Christ. That's us. All right, now we may be a different congregation, but there's only one body, and there's only one true church. Now we are a church in a sense that we're a congregation. We're a bunch of believers that assemble together and come to worship and to magnify the Lord, to serve Him in the direction He leads. And He has put in this church a pastor as a under shepherd, and then deacons and elders in the church, that we might fulfill what He wants done in this life for the same body. To edify the body, to edify Christ, all of us are the same in the same body. Everybody understands that? But we're the church. Now, Peter's preaching here on the day of Pentecost. And he preaches about Christ, and that's all the message is. He preaches about Christ, who he was, and how he was, what he done, how his works proved that he was God, about his resurrection. That he's God. And then what must be done? Let's start at verse 37. Now, when they had heard this, now how many was listening? I have no idea. There's a bunch. There are several thousand people no doubt listening. All right. That I marvel at that it's an outside meeting and everybody hears it. That's a miracle in itself. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's speaking. So it ain't the power that's in Peter. It's the power that is working through Peter. It says, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that's for everybody. The promise of the Holy Spirit that will come in our heart when we receive Christ, when we repent of our sins, trust Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in, and we have somebody that'll help us to work through us, that we are in Christ and Christ in us. Is everybody okay so far? Talk to me. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's a message in itself right there in that sentence. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good church service, don't you think? How many would agree that'd be a pretty good church service? If 3,000 got in one service, I think that'd be a pretty good service. Think we could probably holler amen and hallelujah then. And then verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. That's interesting. And all that believed were together. And all had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, speaking of the believers, and they that believed, and they continuing daily with one accord. That's interesting. Would that be interesting? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did either meet with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, not just the believers, but all the people. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, that's the early church, all right? That's the body starting out, all right? And that is the direction. You'll not find in the scripture where that's supposed to change. That's the pattern. See, the sad part is we have changed. The early church had to had the command to go and to preach the gospel. The early church had the command to evangelize. But that was the first message to the church. The last message that Jesus gave to the church was repent. If you read about the seven churches of Revelation, he said for them to repent. He didn't tell them to go nowhere. He said, come back. You went too far. You went too far on your own. Come back and repent. Do your first works over. I believe what the scripture will tell us, that we've lost our first love, that we need to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Huh? That we come back. So that's where we're at today. We need to repent. But what we need to repent to go back and do is what was laid out for us to do. All right? Now, it's not a question, have we done it? But 5 out of 7 churches were called to repent. So if that ratio is the same, 5 out of 7 of us needs to repent. Stand up 7, 5 of us need to repent out of 7. And we might just have to circle them around there, because some might need to repent. It's going to come up on the 2. It don't. We just have to don't let the numbers lie to us. Everybody understand? It's going to be quiet already. I'm not going to be quiet. We're going to encourage you tonight. But this is the core. This is our example. So we want to look. Now, there's some commitment. The first church has some commitment. All right? Now, later on, we'll probably preach a whole message on commitment, but there are some commitment by some young Christians that we do fail to see today, and then we're not going to get on what we're not doing. We want to look on what we're supposed to do, okay? Talk to me. We're not going to try to dwell and nitpick and find out the things we're not doing. Let's see what we're supposed to do, and you decide yourself whether or not we're doing it. How about that? All right, so let's look here, and we'll start the first church, the commitments of the first church. Now, you understand, if we go back and start at verse 41, it said, then they that gladly received it were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Everybody with me? And they, who are they? Them 3,000 souls. These 3,000 souls had never been to Sunday school. These 3,000 souls that didn't have a Bible. 3,000 souls that never had been to a prayer meeting. They'd been to one preaching service. All right, everybody follow me. 3,000 souls, never had been to a prayer meeting, never been to Sunday school, didn't have a Bible, never sat through a Sunday school class of any time, never been to a revival, never been to a camp meeting, Never been discipled one-on-one. Never been to a new convert class. They got saved. And it says, and they continued steadfastly. The first thing they done was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. A new Christian that got saved and decided to stay in there instead of getting saved and nobody ever seeing them again. All right? So we're just going to see what the first church done. They carried on the apostles' doctrine, the teaching. It says, and they continued, that's a big thing, that they continued. The early church continued in what got them saved. The early church continued on what got them saved. Everybody understand that? And they didn't just continue, but they done it steadfastly. That means they didn't just haphazardly do it, but they done it in there faithful and hard and really done it steadfastly, all right? In the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' teaching. Do you know that there was nowhere else that they could get that information other than the apostles? That there wasn't no books to read about it? There wasn't no commentaries to read about it? They had to listen to what the preachers preached. Because it was coming from God. That's what the early church did. So they carried on the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, all right? Everybody sees that. And then it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They fellowshipped. The early church fellowship. Well, who do they fellowship with? One another. They fellowshipped one with another. You know, they probably learned one another. They probably learned the names of the people that they went to church with. Because they were fellowshipping. But it was not just in church. That fellowship don't mean that they went to church together. It means they lived together. They was in a community. They lived like they were family. Like they were the one body that was being taught to them. They fellowshipped outside of church, not just during a church service. Our fellowship is limited to an hour a week. And we don't go no more together than our kids do on Wednesday night.
Amen, Chris. Amen.
They fellowshipped. All right? That's what it says, ain't it?
Yeah.
And they fellowshipped and in breaking of bread. Now, that breaking of bread, we understand, well, they're speaking of the Lord's table, but it was more than that. They eat together. They fellowship together, and when they met, we have no problem meeting to eating. We have no problem at it. We meet to eat all the time. We're going to meet to eat Tuesday. Right? We're going to meet to eat the 9th of July. We'll meet and eat, and then we'll have a meeting. Right? We'll meet at the youth camp and we'll eat and then we'll have church and then we'll eat and have church and then we'll eat and then we'll have church and the snack and go to bed and get up morning and do it all again. We're going to do all that. But they didn't just limit it to a church service. But they fellowshipped because they was one body and one family and one household of faith. There's not many households of faith. There's only one household of faith. There's only one church and one body, and they fellowship together. And the reason that they fellowship together is because they had just got saved.
Right. Amen.
And they needed one another. That's what it says, eh? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the teaching. Am I on? Can y'all hear me? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, them are commas and all them. So we can read it like this. And not trying to change the Bible. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the teaching. And they continued steadfastly in the fellowship. And they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. And they continued steadfastly in prayers. Right? That's what it says. They prayed together. They prayed together. They didn't pray at the church together. Not yet. Not in that verse. They fellowship together. They spent time with the church. They spent time one with another because they were taught to love one another. So they spent time with one another. See, they got saved. See, they got saved. The early church got saved. And then they showed their salvation because they stepped out in baptism and showed the world, hey, I got saved. And then they started following the teaching that the apostles who spoke from God, who now we have our canon of Bible, and they listened. And they followed and they started fellowshipping. And they started mingling. Yeah. And talking. And learning about one another. Yeah. Learning about faults and failures and mistakes. And those who could help and those who needed help. And those who were sickly and those who were weak. And because they were one body. Yeah. There wasn't many bodies, but they were one body. And they fellowshipped outside of the hour that they're in church. And they visited one another other than in the church house. And they spent time because they were saved out of the world and they didn't run to the world. They ran to the other ones that were saved with them. And they fellowship one with another. Hey, instead of the world, they run to the church and the church family and they fellowship with the church family. And they eat together. And after they'd eat their meal together, then they say, well, wait a minute, we meeting here about the Lord. Let's remember Him. And they didn't have communion. Yeah. And then they go the next day to old Joe's house. And they down to old Joe's house and he'd have brown beans and cornbread and they eat. And they said, well, we better remember the Lord. Then they'd have communion. Yeah. Then they go down to Sally's house. Then he go over to Sarah's house and over to Ralph's house. And they done this daily, all the time. And they felt, because what they were saved. Right. And they were saved out of the world. Yeah. And they were in a new body. Yeah. The body of Christ. Right. And there wasn't no big eyes or little U's. And there wasn't no hurt feelings and words. Yeah. Yep. Because they were one body.
Right.
And they just got saved. They were saved.
Yeah.
And they were baptized, showing a testimony. And then they started following the teaching of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John and the rest of them. And they started as they grew and they started obeying and living the book of Ephesians and living the book of Colossians and living the book of Philippians and living the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians and living the book of Galatians and living right on down the line while we're there, okay. That's because they was the early church and the only thing they had on their mind was they had been saved from hell and they had a new lease on life and now they had Christ living in them and they was going to fellowship because the world didn't mean nothing to them. Because they got saved and put in a new family. That's the early church. Huh? So they carried the apostles' doctrine, carried on the apostles' doctrine and teaching. They fellowshipped, not just in church, but a common bond. They had a common bond. Huh? They broke bread. They broke bread at supper time. Then they broke bread in remembrance of the Lord. Prayer. Prayed together. How many of us gather up and pray together? We're trying our best not to say much. trying the best just to say what the early church did without saying what we don't do. It's hard. It's really hard. I'm just saying that the early church prayed together. They prayed together at home. Not by themselves, for they're four no more. But they met together. 3,000 met together. They couldn't all fit in one house. They couldn't fit in one church house. They didn't have church houses. They met in houses anyhow or outside. And they traveled and they went and they moved. And nobody was excluded. They didn't say, I ain't going to that house because I don't like them. And I ain't going to that house because they... No, they went together. 3,000. I wonder how many difference of opinions 3,000 people would have. I wonder how many likes would be different with 3,000 people. Huh? Wonder how many would be different. That wasn't the question. Because they'd got saved and baptized, and they first thing, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's what the early church did. Are we okay? So that's the commitment of the early church. Now these weren't senior, dyed-in-the-wool Baptists. They were all new converts. See, they didn't know that you could hate your brother and still go to heaven. See, they didn't know that you could lie on one another and gossip. They didn't know you could do that and go to heaven. See, they got saved, so they just went ahead and continued in what they were taught. They didn't question it. Because they knew it was from God. And then they fellowshipped. Fellowship ain't a handshake. Fellowship ain't a hug. Fellowship's time. Fellowship's time. You know what's missing in a home? Is fellowship of husband and wife. You know what's missing with children? Fellowship of parents with children. You know what's missing in church? Fellowship with God's people But God's people fellowship with the world.
Yep. Amen.
Wait a minute. That's what we're saved from. Why go to the world for any encouragement or any help or any counsel? Why go to the TV come to church and listen to the pastor that God has put over the flock of where you're attending and listen as the apostles' doctrine is continued. But it's not like. So we'll go find us another preacher or a podcast or another church. I'm trying hard here to keep what the early church did. They wasn't no, thank God there weren't no cell phones. And thank God there weren't no iPads and computers. Verse 43 then tells us something. And fear came upon every soul. Well, wait a minute, why would they be afraid? Oh, well, not that kind of fear. It wasn't that they were scared to come out of their homes. It was the fear and respect of an almighty God, because it says that many wonders and signs were done. They seen how big God was, how big God could be, and that fear and respect and awe, and wow, man, we got God. How long has it been since you've even been astonished at church? Huh? Now we get shocked at people. Well, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they done that. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fear of man. It's God, the reverence. They weren't afraid. These people weren't afraid because they let them beat them and be fed the lions and clipped their heads off and hung them and drowned them and soaked them in tar and they put them in, starve them and put them in a lion's den, and they chase them through the mountains and run them from their homes, and they wouldn't have no food, wouldn't have no shelter, and they worshiped the holy God together. Huh? That's what the early church did.
Yeah.
That's why before Jesus closed up the book, he sent a letter to the church and said, y'all come back because y'all missed it. Get back over here. We still okay? How about verse 44? Huh? Things that the early church had now that we need. We've seen some commandments. Everybody follow me tonight. I don't know about y'all, but pretty tight, ain't it? Talk to me. At least you say amen to that. Verse 44, and all that believed. And all that believed. And all. There's only way you can say it. And all that believed were together. That what it says? Is that up on the board? I like it. I like how you got that blocked out and just white up there. And all that believed were together. And they had all things common. Had all things common. Wasn't nobody looking down their nose at nobody. That's what the early church had. Early church were together. See, they were new converts. They didn't know that they couldn't get along. They didn't know that yet. They didn't know that you could have jealousy in the church. They thought all that was gone, forgiven. They didn't know that they could be schisms. Because they were just starting out, you know. Everybody understand that? So they just went ahead and got together. You know how come they were together? It says they were together. You know what they've been doing to get together? They've been fellowshipping. You know what will help unity when we go to fellowshipping? You know how come we don't have unity at Mount St. Baptist Church? I'm going to tell you, because there ain't much no fellowshipping. We ain't got time to fellowship with the brothers because we're in the stinking world. Or we go off on a mountain with the people wearing a red dress and bald heads, and we get alone because, well, I'll just worship at home because it won't do me no good to go to church because all the feelings I have, and I'll just worship by myself. Well, that's real scriptural. I'm just telling what the early church had. And they all 3,000, not 2,999, but all 3,000. Not nary a one. Not nary a one wasn't together. Is that what it says? That's what it says? And then look at verse 40. 44 and 45 brings it together. They had all things common and sold and. See, all that, they had all that together at the same time. Y'all see, verse 42 starts as what? And. Verse 43, what's the first word? And. Verse 44, what's the first word? Verse 45, what's the first word? Verse 46, what's the first word? All them things go together. They had it all at the same time, okay? Everybody with me? Now they had all things, and they sold their possessions. Now this does not mean that they all went and sold everything they had and stood there without nothing. That ain't what that's talking about. It's talking about they had a generosity one to another. Okay? Nobody was any better than the other. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They were willing to sell something if it was going to help somebody that didn't have anything. Why they do that? Because they were together and they'd been fellowshipping. And they knew what the needs was of one another. And they knew if this one was a little slack. And they knew if this was having trouble paying their light bill. And they knew if this was having trouble paying their sewer bill and their water bill. And they knew if this didn't have enough groceries. So they had poundings and they would gather up and give a little bit here and give a little bit there. And they were together and had all things common. And there was nobody looking down and nobody looking up and nobody wishing they were somebody because they loved one another, because that's what they were taught with the apostles' doctrine, that they loved one another, that they loved their brothers, they loved their sisters, that they didn't have no bitterness or guile or malice or envy or strife in their hearts or minds. They didn't have none of that. All they had was love one for another. Why? Because they'd got saved and they hadn't been taught that they could do all this other stuff. Because they thought they were safe from all that stuff, you know. See, they was being taught that they were safe from the penalty of sin. Then they were being taught they were safe from the power of sin. So they didn't know that they could still act like a heathen and say they're a Christian. That's what I see here. I don't know what y'all see. Maybe I just see them too much. Maybe I see things. Huh? And then let's look. So they had generosity. How about verse 46? And they, what now? What did they do? They continued daily. Wait a minute. We're going too far now, because they continued daily going to church house. Now they're going to church daily. Daily. Somebody asked me the other day, tell me when people started going to church on Wednesday. Now, I don't know if they was wanting to figure out how not to go on Wednesday or what the case was. I said, well, actually, we've just backslid because they used to go every day. I'm just telling you what the early church did. You know, them 3,000 and it just got saved. They didn't know no better than to lay out a church. They just went ahead and went every day. They continued daily. Wait a minute. They went daily and they didn't growl about it, because it said they went with one accord. Are we still okay? They went daily, every day, and they didn't growl about it. They didn't growl about Sunday school and preaching. See, we growl about from 10 o'clock till 12:30. But when these guys preached, they preached all day. And the people didn't sit. They didn't have no pews to sit on. They stood. They stood all day and listened. Are we still okay? And look what else they done. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Are we still okay? See, now they're worshiping together. They're sharing their stuff. They're being generous. They're sharing their stuff. Now it says, and they go into the temple. So now they're praising the Lord together. What do you allow about that? Huh? Verse 47 will tell us that. But let's finish out verse 46. Said, and now they're eating again. They got to be Baptist. The first church had to be Baptist. Because now they're breaking bread from house to house. Wait a minute. Now, they're not just having communion, see, because they're eating their bread with, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They weren't contrary when they ate it. They didn't have no problem in feeding one another. Or is anybody getting any of that? I'm just wondering if we've missed any of it. Are we doing any of this? They did eat their meat with gladness. They did eat their meat with gladness. Well, I always am glad when I eat meat. You can't make me frown if you give me a ribeye. I'll not frown. Give me a piece of a deer steak, man, I'm happy. Pork chop, piece of ham, piece of bacon, squirrel, rabbit, Coon, hey, I'm happy. Huh? Groundhog, if you cook it right, I'll eat a groundhog. An old whistle pig, they're good. Huh? But they'd eat their meat with gladness and singles of heart. You know, that singles of heart. I wonder, you know, went to Sally's house, you know, and she didn't know how to cook like everybody else. And they went to Sally's house and they said, Sally, this is good. Oh, this is good. I love you. Let's fellowship together. We'll give God the praise. And you'll learn. You'll learn. And we went over to Sarah's house, but boy, she cooks. She's that old fashioned cook. Oh, but you didn't treat Sally no worse than you did Sarah. We won't eat what we had to have at homecoming unless we know who fixed it. Because if somebody we like, don't like, fixed it, we won't eat it. I ain't supposed to say what we're not doing. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm just trying to say what the early church did. Verse 47, then it says they praised God together. Well, wait a minute. Was this at church or house to house? Well, praising God come from house to house. They was worshiping, no doubt, up there in the temple, but they were praising God house to house. Are we okay? And then it says, because all this, people got to watching. And them other people that was around them, 3,000, they said, wow. I want to be like them. Because they found favor with all the people. You know what this early church did? They decided this is going to be Christian and people noticed it. And they said, I want to be like Mike. Huh? We okay? And then look what the Lord did. Huh? And the Lord added to them 3,000. How often? Such as should be said. I want what the early church had. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was like the first church? Huh? How many here like old time religion? Hold your hand up if you like the old time way. Hold your hand up. How far back you want to go? The old time, how far you want to go back to go? You want to go back to the 60s when he was a kid, the 50s, the 40s? I think we can be safe to say nobody here would understand church past 1940s. Huh? Huh? Gene ain't here. Miss Gene, you listening? If you was here, we'd have to go back a ways. Huh? No, we can't go back, but so far, is that all the old time religion we want? We want the old time religion. Listen, old time religion ain't outside toilets. Old time religion ain't kerosene lamps and bibbed overalls. God help a church that wants to put on a facade and do all that to think they're going to get the power of God. Bibbed overalls and kerosene lamps and bundle hair and long dresses, that don't bring the power of God. A clean heart will bring the power of God. Huh? How about if we go back to that first century church? If we want old time religion, let's go back to the first century church. Acts chapter 2. Scripture we just read you. If we want to be like something, let's go back and be like that. Father, we need help. We need forgiveness. Would you? Sure would appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. See you Wednesday.